Lekut Siches Chelek Yud, Parsha Lech Lecha Sicha Beis. The Parsha Seinem is super, al dar tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avraham Avinu limelus atzmei ubnei beisei. Our Parsha tells the story about Hashem commanding Avraham Avinu that he should have a bris, and as well as his family, the people of his household. And by fulfilling that mitzvah, he became the head, the first of those who received the bris milah. The very first one, the head of, and the very first one that was entered into this bris, holy bris, between Hashem and every single Jew. That in the nusach habracha that we say at a bris, we say to bring him into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. We attribute the whole thing to Avraham Avinu. In other words, that the bris that happens now, belongs and associates with the bris, the first bris that Avraham Avinu had, because Avraham is our father, our patriarch. Therefore, he bequeaths to each and every of his children, he gives to every one of his heirs, his children who are his heirs, he gives them the ability, the koyach, to be able to enter into a bris with Hashem. And we know that when it comes to bequeathing inheritance, when somebody inherits something, we know first of all shayirusha einet luya klau b'matzavei v'achanosei shalaben l'reshes. It has nothing to do with whether the child of this father is fitting to be an heir, if he deserves to be an heir, if he has the ability to deal with what he was given. It doesn't matter. Even a one-day-old child inherits everything. It doesn't matter whether he has the ability to understand it or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't depend on the yerush at all. Number two, that when somebody bequeaths something to someone else, the father, a son that inherits something from a father, this is brought in Gemara in regards to the laws if somebody stole something and then died and therefore the son inherited it. So there is differences whether we would see the son as, we would compare him to somebody who bought something from the father. In other words, there was a transfer of ownership from the father to the son, or do we see it as the son now stands in the place of the father? There was no transfer. It was just the father owned it. The son is now the father that owns it. And it's not like a purchaser who had, there was a transfer of ownership. And that would make a difference in regards to how we would treat certain situations, where whether you have to return it to the original owner, whether you spent it or and so on. It has ramifications there. So we consider inheritance not as a transfer of ownership, but the son stands in the place of the father. The heir stands in the place of the one who bequeathed it to him. Mizem movan. So from this we understand, Asher brisa shel kol echad miYisrael he brisa shel Avraham Avinu, that the covenant, the bris of every yid, is the bris of Avraham Avinu. In other words, we inherited that from Avraham Avinu. So it's not that he gave us something which we now have. It is that we stand in his place when it comes to this bris. Because the ability to be able to enter in this into this kind of a covenant with Hashem, bo loy birushim Avraham Avinu, come as an inheritance from Avraham Avinu, mekimish ayerish mebli habit amatzavei. And since the heir, notwithstanding whether they are up to it or not, on the level or not, nichnas b'mekimish lo amerish kanal, stands in the place of the one who bequeathed it to him. Therefore, when a Yid has a bris today, it is the bris, they stand in the place of Avraham Avinu. But we have to understand, because Harambam kosa bebir mitzvah zu, the Rambam writes in when he explains the mitzvah mila, ein anu molim ipnei shavram avinu olav shalom ol atzma ivan shebesai. When we do a bris today, we're not doing it because Avram Avinu did it for himself and for his for the people of his home. Ella, we do it rather mipnei shakadosh baruch hu tzivoi sanoi de Moshe Rabbeinu shenomo. We do it because Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah that we should have a bris. So we're not doing it because our forefather Avram did it. We do it because the Eibishter told Moshe that this is what we should do. Hare Muvan, so this is what the Rambam says. So from this we understand that even though the ability to be able to enter into a bris with Hashem was given to us as a Yerushim Avram, we call Makim HaMitzvah Atzma, the mitzvah itself, as it becomes our responsibility and our obligation, is not a continuation from Avraham Avinu. Rak shem yusada umaschila betzivya kadosh baruch hu ayidei Moshe. Its foundation, the basis of it, and that's where it starts. Our mitzvah begins with Moshe, Hashem telling Moshe that this is what we should do. V'imkein lo menikras mitzvah zu bris shel Avraham Avinu. If so, why is it called bris shel Avraham Avinu if it's really the bris that Hashem told Moshe that every Yid should do? Especially according to what the Medrash says, kol mitzvah she'asal fanecha aves reiches hayu, aval anu shem and turak shmecha. It's based on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which says l'reich shmanecha. I don't remember the rest of the pasuk. Shem and turak shmecha. So from this we learn that reich shmanecha, the odor of the oil, meaning the mitzvahs, that was the way the avos did their mitzvahs. That it was only an odor of a mitzvah. It didn't have the actual body of a mitzvah. Whereas the actual shemen turak, in other words, the flow of actual oil, that is the mitzvahs after matan Torah. So therefore, when we fulfill a mitzvah, it has an even greater mila than the way Avraham Avinu did it. Similar to the quality of an actual oil, than the odor, the smell of oil. So then, how could we call the mitzvah that we do, which is on a higher level than what Avraham Avinu did, how can we call it the bris, lechnisu bebris shel Avraham Avinu? Gam tzarech lavin, we also have to understand loshen habracha bebris shel Avraham Avinu, madgish inyan Avraham Avinu. We're making it as if the bris is all about connecting to Avraham Avinu. It emphasizes Avraham Avinu. L'chayre, adif yesel hadi shabris imakosh baruch hu, wouldn't it be much more appropriate that we should express that we are creating a covenant between ourselves and the Eibishter. D'haynu l'achnisu b'vishu imakosh baruch hu, to bring him into a covenant with Hashem. Why with Avraham Avinu? So we'll understand this by first explaining Divrei Rabbi Morazakim Shulchanai, what the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch. Asher tchilas knisas nefesh zu hakdeisha, he b'mitzvas mila. That the beginning, every child, every yid has a nefesh elikis, a holy soul, and the beginning, when does the holy soul begin to enter into the body? That is by the mitzvah mila. So we have to understand, gam kaidem leidas atinik, even before a child is born, when it's still inside the mother, malamdim oisai kol ha-Torah kula, we know that the Malach teaches him the whole Torah. Harei shagam terem yivoldin im tzaz bei nefesh ha-Kedoshah. So in other words, even before he was born, already he's learning Torah, he already has a holy soul. It's the holy soul which is actually learning that Torah. So how does that fit with what was brought before from the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch? That the beginning of the entry of this holy soul is only at the Bris, which is only 8 days after he was born, and he's already been learning Torah from before. And the explanation is Knisas Nefesh HaKadosh Pirusha. What does it mean that enters the entry of the Nefesh HaKadosh? It means Chibur Pnimi Shalem Neshamim Aguf, an integrated, an integral coming together of this neshama with the body. Adli Sachtos V'Satzmos L'Metzius Achas, until it becomes so one and united that it becomes one entity. At which time the effect of the neshama, the holy soul, can be seen in its influence on the body. Whereas when the baby is still inside the mother, even though it already has an association with this nefesh of the holy nefesh, not only is it true that this neshama has not yet integrated with the body, as we mentioned, not only isn't it the holy soul which cannot yet be seen as one with the body, but even the ordinary life-giving soul, the nefesh ha-chiyunis, is not yet fully integrated into the body of a fetus. As we know that the fetus eats whatever the mother eats and drinks whatever the mother drinks, and so on. And so it's really the mother who is living for the child. So therefore, even the life force of that child is not yet fully integrated. And even after the baby is born, that the soul is already one with the body. What can be seen and recognized in the body of a baby that young is not its connection to the godly soul, which the godly soul is yet at that time only there in a very concealed way and in a very non-integrated way. What you do see is more the effect of the life force in the body as distinct from the godly force. The entry, the integration of the godly soul in a way that you can actually see the effect on the body, that happens through the bismillah, because through the bris the body now has the stamp of the covenant with Hashem stamped onto the body, the flesh of the body, eternally. This covenant with Hashem is now signed upon the body, the physical body. It's a bris olam. What he means by bris olam, the Rebbe interprets bris olam, which means eternal covenant. It means a bris which can even be seen by the world. It's even recognized by the world. So in other words, that at the bris milah, the connection between the Eibishter, the nefesh elokis, and the body becomes so intertwined that you can actually see on the Jewish body that there is a covenant with Hashem. It's expressed in the flesh of the person. And this is a quality that the mitzvah milah has over all the other mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs, what is their purpose? To bring together the person that does the mitzvah with Hashem. the one who commands the mitzvah. As the word mitzvah is maloshen tzavsev echibur, the mitzvah means to connect and attach, because that's what a mitzvah does. It brings together, attaches the person doing the mitzvah with the one who commanded the mitzvah Hashem. But this connection cannot be seen on the body of the person that's doing the mitzvah. Al derech mashal, for instance, hayada machalekes tzedakah. If a hand gives tzedakah, av shebavadei paul mitzvah zu shinigam mitzvosa agashmi shel hayad. Even though it's without question that when a hand gives tzedakah, there has been a change in the hand. It has accomplished something in the physical hand. Aval ein zeshina anira v'nikir bebasar agashmi shel hayad. But it's not a change that can be seen on the hand. But by mila, in fact, not only is this so by mila, but the whole purpose of mitzvah mila is that very idea. That the change that was accomplished through the mitzvah of mila, in other words, the covenant with Hashem, should actually be recognized on the body. That is the function of mitzvah mila. It should be obvious to the eye. The gamlu mesayilim, not only to a Jew but even to a goy kanal, as we said before. Baze godla mila malasa shol kris sabris de mila al kris sabris de chayrev. And in this way, the krisus bris, the covenant that was made through the mitzvah of mila, is even more than the covenant that is made at Har Sinai, which also had a krisus bris between Hashem and the Yidden. That covenant which Hashem made with the Yidden by Har Sinai and in Arbis Moya before they went to Eretz Yisrael, it's true that it was with even with those that were not there in body. It was with Ebi Neshama for all future generations. Kim Nishmasam. It was done with the souls, as it says in the pasuk. That Hashem said that I am making this covenant with those who are here now, even those who are not here with us. So in other words, that it was with the souls of all the Yidden. As it's explained there, that this covenant that Hashem made with the Yidden at that time was with all the past generations of the Yidden, the gamim adayrus ha'asidim lobby, and also with the future generations. Hayinu shekritzus abris ha'isim aneshamas was with the neshamas shekulam ha'yisham ba'isamayim, the neshamas of all were there because their bodies, of course, were not there. Kolosh na yidu v'negei l'kolecha d'achamim yisrael k'lagerim, as we know, in regards to every yid, including gerim, which means that they're certainly that their forefathers were not there. Mushba v'ayimid mahar sinai, they are taken into this oath from Har Sinai. In other words, that the neshamas of the Geirim were there also. All neshamas were there. Yiseirim Azu, even more so. Elu shehoyin achachem sham begufam, those yidden that were there in body. Haregam heimbo bebris rak bezesh shamu was divir abris. So first of all, the people that were there by Har Sinai, it was only the neshama that was brought into the bris, not the guf, because the gufim were not there. And even more so, even the people that were there in bodily, that bris was only that they heard the Hashem bring them into this bris. He said, they heard him say it. Not from Hashem, from Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. The ima yesha hashmiyin in the fesses ba'ezen. And even though it's true that when you hear, it's captured by the ear, which is also one of the physical limbs of the person. The ear is really only a medium through which the neshama is able to hear that krisus bris. With the spiritual sense of hearing, and therefore is able to receive that thing which they heard. But it doesn't change the ear. The ear doesn't in any way change. It's just a receiver so that the person can hear it. I don't know, Baruchnius, but it says Baruchnius. that these covenants that were made in Arvas Moyev and other similar ones was for the most part with the Neshamas. Whereas when we talk about the Krisis HaBris of Mila, that the Inyan of HaBris is that it is a covenant with the flesh of a Jew. Shegam bosar agufa gashmi, that even the physical body, ba'adlis soitz yuma de gufa, until as we call that part of the body in Pasach Eliyahu, that it's called soitz yuma de gufa, that is the bottom of the body, the furthest point south of the body. Sites for the legs, which are extend from higher than that, so that's this end, the lowest part of the body, is where the bris is made. Yiskasha bebris oilam, Hakadosh Baruch Hu shall be tied in for an eternal bond with Hashem. That's the idea of the bris milah, that it is a physical bond, not stam with the body, but with the lowest part of the body. In other words, that we make a dira for Hashem in the very lowest place on the body, the lowest place, that there is no lower than that. And this is the whole idea of mila. When a child is 8 days old, at a time when he is not in any way able to understand anything at all, as far as what his neshama is able to accomplish, what he's able to master on his own. From that perspective, he wouldn't be able to enter into any covenant because he doesn't understand anything. Even so, he tila Torah, all of the Torah places the responsibility on him. Lias nimel begilzet, to become circumcised at this time, that the whole purpose of it is that the physical body should become, enter into a covenant with Hashem. And this is actually possible by an 8-year-old child, and even more so by an 8-year-old child, because there is no other interference. The mind is not interfering, the emotions are not interfering, nothing is interfering. It's just a plain, simple covenant with the physical body. So based on this explains also the bracha, that to enter into a bris of Avraham Avinu. The Priya Oretz Meir of Menachem Mendel Haradok, in the Sefer Priya Oretz from the Mendel Haradok, it expresses what was so amazing about Avraham Avinu's Akeda. What was so special about that? So he asks the question, that even though it's true that many Yidin Gaman Oshim Pshutim, even simple folk, over the generations, there were many ordinary Yidden that were literally went on Mesiris Nefesh. Even such Mesiris Nefesh, similar to the Akeda, meaning that their child and so on, they brought their children as a sacrifice for Hashem. They never heard a direct command from Hashem to do this, and even so, they did it. So and Avraham Avinu, he heard it directly. So what's so great about the Akeda? So the Mendel Haradok answers that the Mail of Avraham is very great, Adla Hafli, amazingly, incredibly great, of Nisoyan Akeda, in regards to the Nisoyan that he had. Vatamhu, and the reason is, because he was the very first one that was able to withstand this test. And in such cases, to be the first one is very difficult. Once somebody has done it, others can follow, but to be the first one is very difficult. After the first one has already opened the channel, v'solulus aderech, and has he already cut a path for others to follow? Then it becomes more easily accomplished by those who follow. Because they follow in his footsteps, and it's easier to follow in a trodden path than it is to be the first one to walk that path. But this that Rabbi Lordaka says, kol zehu be'inyan atoli ba'avinos avargashos shel adam avavedasi. That is only true by something that a person understands and feels and, you know, experiences emotionally in his avoda. That in order for a person to be able to overcome those things that he needs to, the difficulties and so on, in order to be able to do it, so therefore when he knows and when he feels that there was already somebody who did it, Harisha, and the first one that did it, Ubefrat Kishu Aviv, especially that it's his father, Avraham Avinu, is the father of every Jew, Upasach Hasan Tziner, and he opened up the channel to be able to follow, Avurei Vavro Kol Bnei Yisrael, he opened up the channel for himself and for every Yid, Hareza Messiah, Loi Babidosei Hu, so it helps the person that is going through that difficulty now to know that he, Avraham Avinu, already did it. But when we're talking about something that a person has to overcome and he has no idea that somebody did it before him, it's something that is done to this person, he doesn't have any say in it and he is not preparing for it and so on, especially that child of 8 days that has no control of his emotional and intellectual abilities. He has no those things don't exist yet. For the 8-day-old child, it doesn't help him in any way that Avraham Avinu did it before. He's unaware that Avraham Avinu did it before, and so it doesn't help him to overcome his difficulty by knowing that Avraham Avinu did it before. So it comes out that in this sense, there really is no difference between the first one that did it, Avraham Avinu, and the child that's doing it today, thousands of years later. He doesn't know that Avraham Avinu did it, so he is the first one. So in this bris that this child is having, he is the first one. He's not being helped at all by the fact that Avraham did it before him. And the truth is that this applies even for an adult that has to go through Mila, like a ger. Even though this person already does have the knowledge and the feeling, so therefore you would think that he wouldn't be considered the first one because he knows that Avraham Avinu did it, another Yidden did it, and so on before him. Since the whole point of doing mitzvah milah is to bring the flesh, the physical flesh, into the covenant, through a physical act, you bring it into a bris with Hashem. As he explained before at length, so to the bris, to the physical bris, to the putting the imprint of Hashem on the physical body, it doesn't help that emotionally you're more prepared. In other words, even though emotionally you may receive some encouragement from the fact that Avraham Avinu did it before you and others did it before you, and even the knowledge that this is coming to you as an inheritance from Avraham Avinu, which means that you stand in the place of Avraham Avinu and what that brings with it, the encouragement that it brings with it, that only helps in your putting yourself into a place where you're emotionally ready to be able to go ahead with it. But it doesn't in any way help with the actual physical putting that physical imprint on the body, because the body doesn't in any way experience any of those encouragements from what the person does. So therefore, so therefore, it turns out not only a baby that has a bris milah, but every single year that has a bris milah, ben katan ben gadol, whether it's a child or an adult, is the first one in that sense. For a baby of 8 days old, it's clearly understood because it's not emotionally helped by the fact that Avraham Avinu was first. Even when it's an adult, even though emotionally it could be helped, but the physical imprint doesn't in any way benefit from the fact that Avraham Avinu did it before you. And therefore, every year there's a rishon. Ubazei yuvah mashanu oimrim lachnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu, and that's why we can understand why we say lachnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu kinyanu yom alosu shel Avraham Avinu hu bazeh. Because what is this outstanding quality of Avraham Avinu in this case? Shahoya Harishin Kanal. He was the first one to have the bris. That's what makes him so connected to the idea of bris milah. And since in the end it's every year that fulfills that mitzvah, Reyu Gamkin Bechinis Rishin is also a Rishin, like the first one that did it, im kainu nichnas bebris shel Avraham Avinu mamash. Therefore, it's literally being Avraham Avinu in regards to Mila. Just like Avraham Avinu was the first one, you are the first one too. Lefia nal yizbar inyan noisa b'dayrish bir. Based on this, it explains another thing which needs clarification. Madua kosher inyan habris mila bedover han geirim tzara de yinuka. Why is it that a bris has to be dafka to something that causes pain to the child? Especially based on the fact that we know that simcha, joy, is such an essential part of serving Hashem. K'mesh goes of Yisrael Hashem b'simcha, as the pasuk says, serve Hashem with joy. So then why did Hashem command us to do this very, very important mitzvah, dafke b'ayfin shel tzar, in a way that causes pain? Heipach inyan ha-simcha, which of course is the contrary of simcha. V'av shezeh shepulas ha-mila gerem es tzar, ulefi shekenu teva ha-guf b'chol pulois of kiyetzabai. And even though the reason that there is pain is not because this mitzvah causes pain. It's because that's the nature of the body, that when you do such an act of the body, it causes pain. But since, in other words, what he's saying is that it's not necessarily associated specifically with the mitzvah, it's anything in which you will cut the body, it will cause pain. So you need to cut the body, so it causes pain. So it's sort of an indirect result of this mitzvah. No, but that doesn't really answer it. Since everything in the world is very specific, and it's a result of how it is in its source in the spiritual world, since everything in the physical evolves from its spiritual source, so if it evolved this way, it's because that's how it is in its spiritual source. And if this is true for everything in the physical world, how much more so in regards to a mitzvah that it evolves from its spiritual source? And therefore, that's how it is expressed in the physical world, it's because that is how it is in the spiritual source. So we understand that the fact that a bris milah comes with pain is specific. It's not a side thing. It is integral to the mitzvah. So the question becomes, again, why is it so much associated with pain? Especially according to the opinion of the later writings, that the the mila must be with pain. Even if you have a way that you can avoid the pain, it's not done, as did the shalachain. And for that reason, ein lahardemus animo. We do not put the baby to sleep for the bris. Kuloi, whether it's full anesthesia or chelkoi, or even just to numb the area of the bris. And the purpose of that would be shaliyargish sakev, so that he shouldn't feel the pain. We do not do that. Harei bevadasha tzaru inin ikur b'mitzvah milah. So then it comes out that the pain is somehow integral to the mitzvah. So the question is why? And the explanation is inyan shel mitzvah milah lahamshich elokus gam bebasar hagashmi shebaguf. The idea of mila is to bring godliness into the physical flesh of the body. Through which we create a dwelling place for Hashem in the world down here. Which means that even in the very lowest part of the creation, which is the body, and within the body, in the lowest part of the body, as we said before, even there we make a place for Hashem. And therefore the bris has to be done dafke in such a way that their flesh remains in its own nature. Not that we elevate the flesh to a new status. It doesn't feel, it's numb to pain. That's not the idea. The idea is that the flesh should remain in its natural state. And it's categorized by all of its natural characteristics. That the human body, the reality of the physical world is that even in a mitzvah it can also experience pain. You would think that in a mitzvah you're connecting with Hashem, over there you should be so happy that you don't feel the pain. No, it has to be done in the body in such a way that the body feels pain even from a mitzvah, because that's the lowest part of the body. It feels pain from a mitzvah. That's where you have to do the mitzvah. That's where you have to create the dirv tachtayim. Shetzarach liyaz b'yahepech mizeh hasimcha. Where naturally you would think that, not naturally, but in truth, the body should experience great joy from the mitzvah of mila. Instead, it's experiencing pain. Even on this lowly level where the body is experiencing pain from an event, from an act that should bring it the greatest joy, that's where you create a dir for the Eibishter. That's where you connect the Eibishter with the body. And the lesson from this is Hadmur Azokin Kezeb Shulchani. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Shulchan Aruch, a person has no control, has no permission. A person does not own the body. You don't have the permission to exact pain on your body. Meaning to say, a person shouldn't look, is not allowed to go about doing things in a way that will bring pain to the body. Even so, even though this is true, when it comes to a mission in which a person needs to make a place for Hashem in this world, but then we say to the contrary, you're not allowed to prevent yourself from doing the mission because this might cause pain. And we would apply the rule that why do you have to get involved in Hashem's calculations? These are things which are Hashem decides when a person should have pain or not, and it's not up to us to decide why and when. If there is a mission to be done, even if it brings pain, you have to do the mission. Maybe it's only dafka through pain, as we see by the bris milah, that is dafka through pain that you fulfill the mission perfectly. So from this we understand that somebody was given that kind of responsibility, this kind of a shlichus, Eini yochel la'amid al shikul daita, is cannot start making calculations. Ha'im lekabelus ha'shlichus ha'loi, whether he wants to accept the shlichus or not. Ki adam korav etzel atzma, you can't rely on your own calculations to make that decision, because a person is always close to himself and therefore looks for comfort. And it's possible that you should not be thinking straight, and that you should think in a way that is of benefit to you. Because you could think, convince yourself that you're not doing it, you're not avoiding it because of the pain, you're avoiding it for some other reason, but the truth is that it's only because you don't want to go through the pain, so you find other justifications. And even though it might be possible that a person should notify the one who is sending him, the one charging him with that mission, he could tell the person that is sending him on this mission, and I think this will be too difficult for me, this will be painful. You can do that. You can present that case to the one who is sending you. Aval ha'achlota atzma, but who should make the decision whether you should go or not? Tzarech liyos shalom shaleach. That has to be made by the person sending you on the mission. Ashebavadei ein lo pnius chas v'sholom. That person certainly doesn't have any agendas in any way, and therefore he can make the proper decision without being blinded by self-love. Adarabba. And therefore, to the contrary, when a person will dedicate himself to this mission with all of his abilities, in addition, he also has the koyach of the mishaleach. The vade yatzliach v'yamaleh ha'shlichus, certainly he will be successful and fulfill his shlichus hamotelus olav kidboi. He will fulfill this shlichus, which is his responsibility, and he will be able to do it properly. Ubelid tzar v'yisurim, without pain and difficulty. Ki im b'simcha v'tuv levav, he will be able to do it with joy. V'yaseli yizbaro divet tachteinim, and he will create a place for Hashem in the lowest place.